In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory.
It's good to see everybody today. Joyous forefeast of the Nativity of our Lord in the flesh as we approach pretty quickly the Nativity. There are a couple numbers that popped up today's gospel. You know, I love numbers. I'm a numbers guy. There's 14, right? There's three sets of 14. From Abraham to David, there was 14 generations. And from David to the captivity of Babylon, there's another 14 generations. And then from Babylon to Christ, there was another 14, which if you add them all together equals 42, which if you ever read Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, 42 is the meaning of life. So if you don't know, you can look up the reference later. I thought that was very apropos. And I don't wonder if Douglas Adams actually, you know, or the author actually looked that up. Anyway, you'll notice that along the way, there are a lot of interesting characters in the story, in the genealogy. I don't know about y'all, but when I was young and we'd read the genealogy, I'm like, come on, why do we have to do this? Genealogies. But there's some really important information in this genealogy. If you pay attention, some very interesting names and things come out of the text, and they speak to us today. Think about this. Who was Tamar to Judah? This is daughter-in-law. Go back and read Genesis chapter 38. It was a very unpleasant situation that happened there. I won't go into the details here because we have kids. Solomon and Rahab beget Boaz. And we know Boaz and Ruth and all that. What was Rahab? Yeah, exactly, right. Again, go back and read it. It's in Joshua 2:1. Ruth, who was not even an Israelite, but a Moabite, was married to Malhan, the son of Naomi. Now, he died, and Ruth then eventually married Boaz. But from this woman outside of Israel came Obed, who gave birth to Jesse, who then gave birth to King David. Oh, King David. Oh, my gosh. Should we talk about him? Did you catch what Matthew said about him? And Solomon gave birth to her, who was the wife of Uriah.
He
gave birth by her, who was the wife, thank you, of Uriah. And if you remember how that went, so what happened is, I won't go through all that stuff. We don't have so much time. It was awful. And her father, Tom Hopko, said that if you walked into a library and said, I want the book with incest, violence, genocide, rape, murder, slaughter, espionage, and all these awful things, the librarian will look at you and say, do you want King James or New International Version? It's because human history is full of really broken people, really bad stuff. You know, we have Rahab, the prostitute. You have King David, the murderer and the adulterer. You have Tamar and Judah, which is, again, go read that for yourself. And all this lineage is listed as the people who brought us the Christ. Some of them were murderers, adulterers, fornicators, foreigners, bad people. And somehow through all of that wickedness and that evil comes the Christ. It is not a pristine journey. The human experience is not pristine, and we all know that. Everyone here has a story. Everyone here has been through the mud. Everyone here has done things they're ashamed of or had things done to them that they're ashamed of. Everyone here, to certain degrees. Because just like the lineage we read about today in the gospel, our lives are a mess. The Bible, as well as us, our lives are full of messes and awful situations. And yet, from this came the Christ, the Son of the living God. He who was before all time picked this messy, broken, dysfunctional humanity that he created and loves infinitely. He chose them, from them, to become the Christ. He took this messy, corrupt, and dying flesh from the lineage of people who constantly fell and made often huge mistakes. He took it and made it his own. I don't know if you know this. Go back and read Genesis. Is it chapter 19 where it talks about Sodom and Gomorrah with Lot and all that? Go to Judges and read Judges 19. There's a mirror there between Judges 19 and Genesis 19. But instead of it being Sodom and Gomorrah doing the awful things, it's Israel doing the awful things. Worse than what Sodom and Gomorrah did. A lot of mirrors there. Go read it. That's your homework. And yet out of all of that comes the Christ. Out of this nation of Israel, of messy, broken, and dysfunctional, and crazy people, comes the Christ. A light shining in the darkness of paganism, coming to illumine the entire world. And make no mistake, the world has not been the same since his nativity. Because he came, he took that mess of humanity, that what we had made ourselves, and he did something magnificent. He redeemed it. He made it holy. The nativity story is above all one of redemption. It is not just the redemption of one or two people or of some nation in the Middle East. It's not that. This nativity story is about the redemption of all humanity throughout all of time, even those who in faith subdued kingdoms, as we heard about in Hebrews today. No matter who they were, no matter where they were, no matter where they came from, and no matter what their story is, he came to call them out of the darkness of sin and death, and he called them back into communion with him, the living God. And you know, when I say that, when I talk about everyone, all of humanity, that includes us. That includes Father Peter standing here preaching this. We're all being called out of the darkness of sin and death into communion with him to share in his divine life. So what's your story? Don't say it out loud. Spend some time thinking about your story. What was in your lineage? Who were the people in your history? Where are you in that story? And I assure you that no matter what, no matter what that story is, no matter how bad or how good, Christ comes to heal and redeem those memories and those experiences and to make them a source of life for you and the entire world. When I was reading the lineage, the words of Saint, the soon-to-be Saint Olga of Alaska came coming into my mind, and forgive me if I botched this, but she said something along the lines that, you know, God is able to bring absolute beauty out of desolation. That's why I'm at church today. I'm not here because we have a robust, truly, it's a robust and rich theological tradition. I am not here today because this is the one true, factually provable church of God. I am not here for any of that. I'm not here for tradition. I am here to be redeemed and called back into the kingdom of God. To make that which is destroyed healthy again. To rebuild that which was torn down in my life. To bring beauty where there was ugly. To bring life where there was death. That's why I'm here today. And I believe that's why you're here today too. Because it happens here. And you ask yourself, why can't I just go home and sit there and do my prayers? Because God doesn't exist in isolation. He himself is community in Trinity. The only thing you can do on your own is go to hell. So we come here together and we pray together. And I will tell you this thing too before I wrap this up. We look at our lives and we wonder, how is it that I could be redeemed ever? How could any of my life be redeemed? All those things I did, all those things that were done to me, how could they ever be made holy? We wrestle with this as Orthodox Christians. How could I ever be worthy enough to receive the body and blood of Christ? Maybe if I do 1,000 prostrations and I fast so much that I can't stand. No, nothing you do will ever be enough. It happens here in community where we pray together. This is how you are made worthy of the Eucharist. You come to church and you pray with everyone else, and in community, singing with one voice, praying with one voice, we are all made worthy. And you'll note the last thing we do right before we receive the Eucharist is we all say that prayer, and make us worthy. And we say it together, first person plural. It's not your fasting or your piety or anything you've done outside the church, although that helps. Don't stop fasting, trust me. Keep praying, do your prayers, give to the poor. Come to church, Pray with one another, and above all, let go of who you thought you once were. You don't get to decide who you are. Christ decides. Let go of that image, that idea of who you think you are, and cling to the image of God revealed into you by our Lord Jesus Christ. Let the Word of God be born in your story today. And I said last night, we're all called to be like the Theotokos. While she bore Christ, she received the word from the archangel Gabriel, and she bore the word of God inside of her, and then she gave birth to him into the world. So everyone here, even you little kids, I'm looking at you, Lazarus. And all y'all.
I'm not a little kid.
Young men, how about that? Even the young kids and young men and women are all supposed to hear the word of God, to conceive of it inside themselves, conceive of him inside yourself, and to give birth to him in the world. This nativity is not a one and done thing. We say Christ is born for a reason. He's born today in each one of us. Let go of all those things that bogged you down, all those stories, all of the mess and all the junk and all the crumb. I'm trying to watch my language. And instead, let the word of God be born in your story today. Walk with him. Pray with him. Pray to him. And transform your life and the lives of everyone you meet by the light of his nativity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.